Hope you're having a great weekend. I'm Dan Cummins in for Jeff Smith. Well, coming up on Leading Edge, we're just over a week from the total solar eclipse running across the state of Ohio. We'll hear from John Birchfield. Later, two Northwest Ohio farmers in studio talking about the upcoming planting season in the springtime. But first, we'll tell you about Hooves. Now, that's the Swanton-based nonprofit that helps veterans and first responders deal with PTSD with equine therapy, horses. And there's a documentary premiere about Hooves coming next Saturday, April 6th. We'll tell you about at the Maumee Indoor Theater. So I want to welcome its founder, Amanda Held, and a veteran, Dave Baker, who benefited from the services out there at the Hooves farm. Amanda, what is it about horses? We've talked about this before. This is remarkable. What did you discover what horses can do to work with someone going through a tough time emotionally and get them to come out a little bit?
So at Hooves, we like to say that horses reflect the life inside of the human. And while it might sound a little bit woo-woo, there's actually a lot of science behind it. But horses are non-predatory herd animals, and they have a very high sense of self-preservation. So when you put a group of people in with a herd of horses, what they're going to do is they're going to read the mirror neurons, the body language of those people, and start blending in with the crowd. And so what that looks like is the things that we have inside of us are going to show up as traits and characteristics in the horses. So a lot of the veterans say it's kind of like watching their life role played out by a horse.
So Dave, you benefited from the Hooves program. You're a Navy veteran. When was your moment like, wow, I've been hearing I'm kind of tough inside, but boy, this horse really convinced me. Give me your aha moment with that.
It was probably later in the first day, just because we have the initial going in, meeting the horses and whatnot. But later in the first day, I would say that's when I kind of started feeling that mirror. When they were skittish, I was definitely skittish.
Sure. When
they just wanted to get away from me, I kind of thought the same thing. I mean, it was really kind of amazing that something that you can't talk to, you can't say this is what I feel like, is kind of doing what you're doing.
So Amanda, a lot of veterans tell you like, gee, maybe I am that stubborn and I need to open up a little bit more. And you've had an amazing success rate. How many veterans have you helped over the years?
We've put so far about 450 veterans through the program. And after we did our self-report survey from 2023, they are reporting a 92% reduction in suicidal ideation.
Incredible. And now you've added first responders to the mix.
We have.
Now, talk about what you're like, for example, 2024, what's your sequence of programs that you have going on? How many veterans come through?
So we'll accept 70 veterans through this year, and we've actually got a lot of exciting additions to our program. So we've tacked on another day because I keep going out and researching and learning different healing modalities that are really powerful. And then we've also added to the program 11 months of follow-up success coaching, because on the last day of our healing intensive, the veterans will write a new mission and vision for their life. And now we can be with them every step of the way as they spend a year implementing that plan.
Now, first responders were added last year, is that correct?
Yes, they were. And so we have offered some special programming with local first responders. But if you are a first responder, you gain access to the program just like a veteran. And a lot of our first responders are also veterans as well, historically.
Okay, now we got the documentary coming up next Saturday, the 6th at Maumee Indoor Theater. Let's roll that right now. Here's a trailer from that. It was done by Josh Nagel Productions.
What I was going through is PTSD. It was just something I dealt with, and now I just live with it.
In 2010, I found myself hospitalized after a suicide attempt that was unsuccessful.
Since 06, I've been through every program, rehab, inpatient, outpatient, class, or program that the VA can offer, not to mention numerous private rehabs. As of most recent, I did a 15-month stint in prison.
You know, we don't want to admit we have problems. We just want to be normal.
I definitely came with no or low expectations because I have set myself up in the past. This is going to be some kind of something. It's going to change me or do this or do that.
I feel like I'm in a cage. And there's no key, there's no door, I'm just in a cage. And no one can get me out, and I can't get myself out.
But you've seen how it really was. Heroism, danger, fear, all rolled into one. Words don't describe it.
Nobody was coming to save me. If I was gonna heal, I had to save myself.
The path to freedom is within us, and we just have to find it. And this place helps you find it.
What a great trailer. And again, the documentary is coming up, Mommy Indoor Theater at 6:30 next Saturday, the 6th. If people are interested in getting some tickets, what do they do?
They can just go right to our website, hooves.us, and tickets are at ticket purchases at the top.
Life-changing, huh, Dave?
It really was. Gave me a whole different way of looking at things.
How long of a session were you in?
It was 4.5 days. Started on a Wednesday night and we got done on Sunday.
Are you completely booked up for 2024 or are you still taking applications?
We still have room in August and September and October so far.
Okay, well good. Good luck to you guys. Thanks for coming in today and we'll see you next Saturday on the 6th. Well, coming up next, John Birchfield's here talking about next Monday's total solar eclipse. Be right back on Leading Edge. Welcome back. It's only going to last for a couple of minutes, but on Monday, April 8th, you and I will experience something that has not happened since 1806, a total solar eclipse right through the area. Our staff of meteorologists have been working hard this past year preparing us for the event. Here's John Birchfield with a taste of what we're looking at April 8th.
April 8th, now less than 2 weeks away, and even though we've been anticipating this moment for months and even years for some, totality is going to be very, very fleeting. So this week, we are going to talk about how long totality lasts, both here at home in the 419 and also across the Buckeye State and across the nation, and who is going to see this once-in-a-lifetime spectacle for the longest period of time. We're going to break down how long totality lasts, both here in Ohio and also across the country and even internationally. So here's a look at the big difference between 2024 and the last major total solar eclipse in 2017. Let's dig into the numbers here, talking about how long totality lasts for. Now, the longest amount of totality this time around is going to be an incredible 4 minutes and 28 seconds. In 2017, it was just barely half that. The longest amount of time was 2 minutes and 42 seconds in portions of southern Illinois. That disparity, that difference there is one of the reasons 2024 is going to be such an amazing spectacle to see is simply the duration. It's going to last longer and viewers and tourists will be able to see that totality for a longer duration of time. Now, the path of 2024's total solar eclipse stretches all the way down from Texas, including big cities like Dallas, up through the Ohio River Valley and the Great Lakes region, and much of the Midwest is going to enjoy the total solar eclipse. Approximately 31 million Americans are in this path. And you can see which states are going to be impacted the most. Of course, Texas, such a populous state, has almost 13 million folks in the path of totality, and more will visit and travel from out of state, with tourism expected to bring a boom for local economies. Across the Buckeye State, a little over 7 million in the path. In Indiana, close to 4 million. Not quite as many in Illinois, and a much fewer amount in some of those southern states. 31 million Americans are in the path of the 2024 total solar eclipse. And approximately 45 million. When you factor in Mexico and Canada, that number really goes to show just how widespread the path of the total solar eclipse is. This go around, it's a wider path than it was in 2017. And not only is the path wider, but it encompasses more major metropolitan areas. We're going to be talking about some of those big cities and how long they will enjoy the totality for. Many more millions will travel to be in that path of the eclipse. Of course, folks who are in neighboring states like Michigan are going to come down to Ohio to witness this amazing spectacle. Now, if you're not already familiar with the path of totality, here's a quick definition to explain just what we mean by totality. Now, totality is when the sun is fully obscured by the shadow of the moon. That shadow is known as the umbra. Essentially, the path of totality reflects the moon's shadow passing across the United States, in this case, going from Texas all the way up towards Maine. Typically, that path is around 100 miles or so wide, so it is very narrow, and it makes it such a rarity when you do find yourself in the path. Now, we have all this information online on WTOL.com/solar eclipse, so if you don't catch it here, you can check online to see how long your city is going to be in totality. Of course, the Toledo Metro, not going to necessarily be in the best viewing location, but that 1 minute and 51 seconds will be something you will never forget. Now, many folks are going to travel south and southeast, as some of those locations have a longer duration in totality. In fact, even some of those suburbs to the south of the river, like Perrysburg, are going to be seeing totality for 2 minutes and 13 seconds. And of course, totality is the only time that it is safe to take off those ISO certified eclipse glasses when the sun is fully obscured. Down towards BG, closer to 3 minutes of totality in Wood County, where there is going to be a little bit longer. So who is going to see the longest amount of eclipse viewing here in the 419 and across Northwest Ohio? We've been talking a lot about Forest, Ohio, a small town that is really going to be put on the map as a result of this eclipse. And Forest is expected to see a boom to local tourism and the economy. Kenton seeing it for about 3 minutes and 55 seconds. Bloomville, Upper Sandusky, and Norwalk also have a significant amount of time in totality. The city of Tiffin in Seneca County, close to 4 minutes. Also, Wakeman, New Regal, Van Loo, and Willard are all going to enjoy that totality for close to 4 minutes. Now, there are some American cities and also some internationally that'll be in that exclusive, we'll call it the 4 minute club. Who is going to see the total solar eclipse for 4 minutes, if not a little bit longer? Now, as I mentioned, this total solar eclipse is going to provide some folks with the opportunity to see totality for close to 4.5 minutes. Here are some of the top cities. Eagle Pass, Texas, 4 minutes and 23 seconds. A couple other Texas cities are going to be over 4 minutes. Carbondale, Illinois was also in the sweet spot for the 2017 total solar eclipse, and they are really going to strike twice here with another beautiful view. Looking at Missouri, seeing over 4 minutes. Areas in Mexico, though, are actually going to have some amazing viewing opportunities, not only due to that duration that they will see the eclipse for. You'll notice anywhere from 4 minutes and 27 down to 4 minutes and 15 seconds, but also Mexico has a good likelihood of seeing sunshine. In other words, the climatology is in their favor for seeing that sunshine. Of course, when the 10-day forecast does get within range of that total solar eclipse, you can trust us, the WTOL 11 weather team, for that April 8th forecast. Now, across the Buckeye State, this is going to be an amazing tourist opportunity with a number of cities in the path of totality. Toledo going to see it for a little over 1 minute and 50 seconds. Now, some of our neighboring cities actually have a longer duration in totality, including Cleveland, as well as other cities like Dayton and Buffalo across the region. Cleveland is going to see totality for 3 minutes and 50 seconds. In other words, in Cleveland, Ohio, it's going to last for over twice as long as the eclipse will last in Toledo. Here's a look at some cities across the Buckeye State and how long totality will encompass. Now, Toledo, being in far northwest Ohio, isn't going to see the eclipse for quite as long, but it is still going to be 100% obscured. So in other words, regardless of how long totality lasts, it is still going to be the same amazing spectacle of full darkness during the middle of the afternoon. Wapakoneta going to get close to 4 minutes, Dayton close to 3 minutes, and Cleveland also close to 4 minutes of totality. Here's another list of some cities across the country. Of course, we'll have all this information online, and the Climate Friday newsletter is always a good resource. You can head to WTOL.com/email to subscribe, and all this information will be online. We have the start time of totality, the maximum eclipse, and also the end time of totality, and that's really important for spectators because they know when to put those glasses back on once it becomes once again a partial eclipse. Of course, during the partial eclipse, you need to have those safe viewing glasses on.
My thanks to John Birchfield for that update on the eclipse. We'll take another break right here. Spring planting for the farmers right around the corner. Hear from two Northwest Ohio farmers as Leading Edge continues. Welcome back. It's about that time. Spring means planting season for farmers in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. Corn, soybeans, wheat primarily. And how close are we? Thanks to Keith Trucor from Fulton County and Denny Phoenix Cutter. Oh, I was afraid of that.
Just say Cotter. Hey, that or say Venicotter. Okay. Is that easier?
It sure is.
Well,
Yeah.
And and for Putnam County. Guys, thanks for coming in today talking.
Thank you.
I've talked to you many, many times, and you're very good to me in teaching me the ropes of some of the things you do. Okay, I know that you guys are probably about 50 miles apart, if not further.
Yep.
And the soil's different probably. Your weather is even different sometimes. Where are you, Denny, as far as preparations for getting things rolling here in April?
So, like this week, we finished up top dressing our wheat. So we got that pretty well in hand. And here in the next week or so, if fields are fit, we would start putting herbicides on for corn, soybeans. Probably won't start thinking of planting for maybe a couple weeks yet would be the earliest.
Yeah, because you guys keep track of the soil temperature because it's a waste of your money to be putting seed in there if the ground's too cold. How is that progress done?
Well, typically we get started, like Denny said, in the middle of April, towards the end of April. This year, Dan, it's been a very mild winter, not much precip as well, too. So we think we can get started a little earlier. But the temperature, we'd like to see that temperature at 50 degrees or above before we start planting. And we tend to put a thermometer in about 2 inches in the soil to make that test.
Denny, we had a really mild winter. Would you prefer a severe winter, a mild winter, or does it even matter to you? You're like the rest of us. We just like to enjoy a decent winter.
Yeah.
Does it matter to you as far as the farming?
A little bit. I mean, you like to see some frost in the ground. It kills bugs. It helps with some of the, even this early spring, I'm starting to see more weeds already germinate in the fields and mm-hmm. Kind of a little bit ahead of schedule, stuff like that. Our wheat, I feel, is ahead of schedule because of the mild winter. It greened up a lot sooner this year.
Tell me how the industry has changed since you were kids and you learned from your families, your several generations of farming. When you were a child, I'm astounded by how technology conscious you have to be. Like you run your tractors on GPS. There's so many things that I can't even begin to understand with how you do your jobs.
The technology today, Dan, it's just amazing from where we come. When I look at pictures of my grandfathers, when they farmed, they had a team of horses, and that's how they farmed. And today, we've got auto steer, we've got computers, and the technology makes us more efficient and more profitable as well, too.
This was you out there. We had you there harvesting your corn last fall. Great crops last year, both of you, with corn?
It's very good a year for crop-wise, but the prices have really dropped over the last 12 months. In general, it's a world market that we live in, and with that in mind, we've had some ample supplies of corn and soybeans around the world, and we've seen the price of corn drop about 30-35% in the last 12 months. Price of wheat down about 40-45%.
This is what you get paid for.
Right, yes. Right. And soybeans down about 15-20% compared to a year ago.
Well, walk me through when inflation took off. We talked before about how your prices went up for fuel, for fertilizer, seed, everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of that as interest rates. I mean, it costs a lot of money to put a crop out. So if a farmer has to borrow that money, interest rates are probably twice as high what they was a few years ago. Like you said, fuel has not really come down at all. Repair parts, equipment, that just... If you have to go and get your vehicle repaired, think of how much more it costs today than what it did a few years ago. Same thing in our world is, machinery costs has continued to rise in that.
I've always marveled at what you guys do because it's high risk, high reward. I mean, every year, and 99 was a nightmare for everybody in farming.
Right.
But it's high risk, you can turn in your crops and make a good income, but wow, I mean, it's a gamble on your part, and this is how you live your life. Do you, I mean, you guys should make a living at Vegas.
Well, and it's all about Mother Nature, too, because we're so subject to the weather, you know, whether it's during the planting season or the growing season or the harvest season. We're just so subject to the weather. And but over the years, Denny, we learned to deal with it, you know, type thing. And the risk that we have ability to offset our risk as well, too, with crop insurance and other products as well, too. So we're seasoned veterans now, I think.
Well, I think about, he said about going to Vegas. I don't have the urge to go to Vegas because we're in Vegas every day.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yep.
It's got to, no matter how good of a farmer you are and sticking to getting it done right, still, if Mother Nature isn't on your side, you've got a problem that year.
Oh, yeah. Mother Nature, you know, you got to, Chris Vickers, he doesn't realize how much we depend on his weather reports and that. You know, we sit there and watch him all the time, got him on our phones. You know, what's it going to do? Rain or what's it going to do this weekend?
Yep.
We talked a little while ago about the longer growing season. It's been warmer in the fall for sure. I know you're able to probably bring your crops in later in the year than maybe you would before.
Well, yeah, even you think of the spring, you know, it seems like that last frost or that first frost, you know, we're getting out there a little earlier because, like you said, the growing season getting longer, the ending frost and that doesn't come as soon as that. So it allows for a longer growing season and I think, you know, maybe increase in yields, too, with that longer growing season.
That it definitely, if we can get started earlier, that plant has ability, a longer season, and therefore a higher yield in general.
Keith, Denny, thank you so much. I could talk to you guys forever about farming. We'll see you this summer, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. One final commercial break here as Leading Edge is back in 2 minutes. Well, as a sure sign of springtime, we found out the farmers are all set to start planting their crops in a few weeks. And the eclipse is coming up on April 8th. And, of course, we learned a 2024 schedule out at Hooves. My thanks to all our guests, and thank you for watching us tonight and this morning on Leading Edge. Good night.